I enjoy going to baseball games, whether it's the Phillies or the Orioles or the Harrisburg Senators. And usually when I go to a game, I buy tickets ahead of time, and then I watch the weather forecast. And I say, well, is it going to rain? Is it going to be a rain out? I don't want to drive the whole way to Philly or the whole way to Baltimore if it's going to rain out and they're going to cancel the game. See, I realize when it comes to baseball that when the storms come, baseball stops. They pick up their equipment and they head back into the dugout and the game is called. Now you contrast that to football. Now football players play through just about anything. The images we have of football players are out in the field playing with 4, 5, 6, 8 inches of snow, rain and sleet, anything. They're still playing. So that got me thinking. Is your Christian life more like baseball or football? Is it like baseball where I say, I want to devote myself to Jesus, but, you know, when the storms come, I'm going to pack up and I'm going to sit this out for a season. I can't muster up the energy. Things in my life are going bad and the storms are hitting and I don't know what to do. And so in that season of life, I'm going to concentrate on me. I need to focus on me. And that sounds right, but it's not right. God calls us to be faithful in the good times and the bad times, to play in the storms, to be faithful in the storms, that we may get beat up in the storms. And as we conclude our series called Anchored, as we've been looking at the story of Paul in Acts 28, 27 and 28. And the story has been that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and then he was taken to a port city and he was going to be arrested and taken the whole way up to Rome to be tried. That journey, which has been Acts 27 and 28, has been a long journey. It's a sailing journey. And we know that that Paul was put on a ship, and that ship went out, and there were storms. And the Bible tells us there were storms for 2 weeks where they could see not the sun by day or the stars by night. And then they were shipwrecked, and they were cast away on this little island called Malta. If anyone has an excuse, if anyone has a justification to say, I need a break, it's Paul. But Paul plays the game in the storm. Does that sound harsh to you? Does it sound harsh to you that God wants us to passionately live for Him, even if we are limping along in life? When life throws us a curveball and we don't know what to do with it? When things have not turned out the way that we had wanted? Maybe it sounds harsh. Maybe it sounds insensitive by God. But I actually think it's loving. If properly understood that I'm going to be very focused on myself for a season because things are going bad, may seem like a good idea, and for many of us, we have done that. But I'm reminded about this word self-centeredness. Self-centeredness rots the heart. The things we find, we're going through hardship of life, choosing to lift our eyes above the storms, looking for hope, making ourselves available to God and the agent of love to others, brings, believe it or not, if you haven't experienced it, brings a joy to your life. And we find out that when we're not concentrated just about all that's going on in our own little lives, and we're just in the midst of this storm, and we can't see the sun, and we can't see the stars, and nothing's happening, we realize, and some of you have experienced it, that if we just raise our eyes above and know that God is in the midst of these storms, and that we can maybe bring love and joy to other people in the midst of the storms, that it makes suffering just a little bit easier. And to know that God's plan is even in the midst of the storms. And the Apostle Paul models this for us. In Acts 28, I'll be reading with beginning with verse 7. It says this, Acts 28, verse 7. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. Now imagine this for a moment. Paul is always looking for opportunities to get into the game, to make a difference. One of Paul's letters in Colossians 4, Paul says this. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. He didn't say, make the most of your great opportunities when things are going well. He said, make the most of every opportunity. And so I want to go over 3 opportunities that Paul makes the most of for us to kind of sit into that in our own lives and understand how we can maybe do some of these opportunities. The first opportunity is this. It's an opportunity that we know a lot about. It's the opportunity of adversity. Now you see, Paul is here and he gets invited to dinner at the emperor's house. And he found out that the emperor's father had Malta disease. Now Malta disease is like an infection. It's very, very difficult infection. In fact, a lot of the old people on the island die from that infection. In fact, that Malta disease is still prevalent today. And so Paul says, he's there eating dinner, and they're talking, and they're chatting. And Paul says, so your father here has this disease, yes? Well, do you mind if I go talk with him? Well, I can imagine the emperor say, well, I don't know if he's up for visitors, but I'll ask him. So the father probably went to ask him, hey, are you up for visitors? And the old man said, yeah, sure. So here's Paul. Paul walks in with all kinds of things going on, and he introduced himself maybe as this. Hi, my name is Paul. I'm a prisoner. I've been shipwrecked. You ought to hear my story. But I don't want to talk about my story. I want to know about your story. Tell me about yourself. And I can imagine Paul sitting there listening to this old man describe his suffering. And at the end of that suffering, Paul had an opportunity. And an opportunity was this. Paul says, sir, I'm a man of faith. I believe in the God who made this world. I believe that God hears us when we pray. May I pray for you? May I pray for you for God's help, for God's love, and for God's healing power? And the man obviously said, yes. And then Paul prayed. And the Bible tells us that in an instant, he is healed. And the word gets out, and the whole island, those who had the same disease, start pouring into this area. And the Bible tells us that God blesses Paul and that community with a unique season of widespread healing. I want you to put yourself this morning at that table, in that situation, in Paul's shoes. Would have you taken advantage of that opportunity of adversity? Let me have you go not from that table to other parts of your life. When you see these opportunities of adversity, think about those for a moment. People hurting. People you know around you that are hurting in so many ways. You know, the thing about adversity is this. Adversity brings people to Jesus. Most people's stories, not all, most people's stories would be like this. Yeah, you know, I was kind of going along in life and things were going good, and then this happened and I was going through a different season of life, and that's when I met Jesus. And I understood for the first time, someone would say, this understanding, the love and the passion, the power of God. So let me ask you a question this morning. There's many opportunities out there to get in the game, to visit hurting people, to visit them, to pray for them, to love up on them, and to be with them. Now, we can't do that for everyone, but we can do that for some. I remember back to my friend Dave. I've told part of the story before. Dave, who called me one day. I was busy. I had my own problems. And some were even within this church. And things were heavy on my mind. And Dave says, hey, Lynn, can you go with me to the hospital to see Bill? He's a worker friend of mine. And I'm like, Dave, go yourself. That's all. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. Go yourself. I just thought it'd be helpful if you would go. And, you know, you're a pastor. And I'm like, I don't need a pastor. All right. So he convinced me. He made me chaplain of the business, and he gave me a stipend. No, I'm just kidding. But we went, and we walked in, and here's Bill in the hospital. Bill was as tough of a guy as you ever want to meet. It was Bill's way or the highway. Bill knocked people out along the way to get what he wanted. Bill had not talked to his brother neighbor who lived not more than 50 to 70 yards away from his house and had not talked to him for 27 years. And we walked into Bill's hospital room. I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I'm a pastor, but doesn't mean I have all the answers. And I walked in and we talked. And Bill shared a little bit and he was sort of hands off for a little bit. And we started talking and I just saying some things. And then I said to him, Bill, would you mind if I pray for you? I didn't know what he was going to say. I didn't know. And he says, yes, that would be good. So we prayed for him. As we were praying, okay, I don't always close my eyes. As we were praying open, I could see his face. I could see something happening within him. And he was in the hospital for days after days after days, and we visited him quite regularly. And then he went home to die. Hospice. We went over to visit him, and I'll never forget. You see, Dave, his friend, who I think had been a witness to him throughout many years that he worked with him. But this profound opportunity of adversity gave Dave and then also myself an opportunity to live into that. So we went home, and I remember we were talking there and talking about Jesus and accepting him as Lord and Savior in his life and what that means. And Bill asked questions after questions, and I could see his whole body softening, this crusty guy softening. And then he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then you know what he did? He said, I want to see if my wife would see if my neighbor brother would come over because I need to say a few things to him. And these two, 25 or 27 years later, no more than 75 yards away, had this amazing reunion. And then days later, Bill died and is in heaven. You see, Dave could have said, I don't know what to do with him. I could have said, I don't know, it's your guy, you deal with it. But God gives us opportunities of adversity where we need to step in That we need to look for people in adversity because that is ripe for them to understand what it means to be part of God's kingdom. That we have an opportunity to affect people for eternity, to find freedom, to find reconciliation, to show love and care to others. Do you realize how many opportunities did you have to impact people for the cause of Christ? And then I go on in verse 10. It says, they honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, and now the winter was over, the harsh part of sailing, after they had wintered on Malta, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandria ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who had invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming. They traveled as far from the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. These were suburbs of Rome. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. See, not only opportunity of adversity do we have, but we have another opportunity. Paul was blessed with a very unique jail cell. We don't know why he wasn't put in a cell like other people. We don't know it was because they didn't have any cells for him to live in. We don't know it was because if maybe he was a Roman citizen and so he got special treatment. We don't know it was because they didn't think he was an escape threat. But they rented a house for Paul and they gave Paul a guard. And this is what it looked like. Paul was chained on one end, and on the other end was a guard. That was Paul's time for 2 years living in that house. 2 years he was chained to a Roman guard. Now see, if I'm in chains, I'm thinking it's a bad day. If Paul's in chains, he's thinking, wow, what an opportunity. Do you realize I'm going to have a guard that I can witness to and talk to that is right there with me? In fact, he can't even leave me. It's a captive audience. And so day after day, the guards would shift and a new guard would come in and they would take this and put it on. And day after day, Paul would witness to these guards. Now see, I've always thought about this story and I asked myself, was Paul chained to the guards or was the guards chained to Paul? I don't know the answer. Because Paul would say, no, they're chained to me. I have a great opportunity. Paul had this opportunity of proximity. There they were. Day after day after day. And in Philippians, one of Paul's letters, he said some had already trusted Christ. This opportunity of proximity. You might say for Paul it was a storm, but for Paul it was an opportunity to show. And you know the other thing I've thought about was this. When you're chained to someone day after day, they see your highs and your lows, they see your shortcomings and things that happen, they see your moods, they see the different things. These people watch Paul day after day after day. And they watch Paul, and something was different about Paul. I mean, these guards come in, maybe from a bad day and things, and there's Paul sharing about Christ and the joy in his heart, and he was so happy. And they're like, how can this be? Paul is chained and a prisoner, and I'm more miserable. See, we have an opportunity of proximity. What a golden opportunity. Now, we're not chained to someone, are we? But let me ask you a question. What are you chained to? Oh, maybe not literal chains, but you're chained to a family. You're chained to a neighbor. You're chained to a coworker. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. You see, that person that annoys you, that sits across from you, that family member that annoys you, others around you that you get frustrated with, could it be that they're placed there for a purpose? A purpose for you, and an opportunity of proximity. You see, when we're chained to people around us, they're watching us, right? They watch us, and they hear us, and they probably watch more than they hear, because watching really shows the heart more than what we say. And so do they have an opportunity to have this proximity opportunity? You see, we can't say, well, Lynn, that doesn't work because my life's not that beautiful. Let me tell you something. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are beautiful. And they need to see that in you. Oh, yeah, there's things. We're not perfect. And we say things we shouldn't have said. And we do things we shouldn't have done. But they will see beauty in your life. And it will make an impact to who you are chained to. So Paul has this opportunity of adversity, and he took advantage of it. Paul has this opportunity of proximity. And then we find the last opportunity in verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. Now, Paul, remember, is a Jewish leader. He's one of them. And Paul might have asked, hey, can I go visit some of my buddies? And they said, no, because you're house arrest. Well, can they come visit me? Yeah, that'll be all right. So it goes on. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, listen to this, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the custom of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. So what opportunity in this moment with other Jewish leaders does Paul have? And I would say it's the opportunity of affinity. Paul had a connection with other Jewish leaders. They shared something in common. Maybe they went to the same seminary. Maybe they had the same training. And so Paul called these local leaders, these top Jewish leaders, and called them together. And he reached out to them. And he said, my brothers. Affinity. It's a way to connect with people. And it goes on. He says, when we want to hear what your views are, for we know what people everywhere are talking against the sect, meaning Christianity, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came even large numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. And the Bible tells us some were convinced by what he said. So let me ask you another question. Who do you have an affinity with? Mothers of preschool? Maybe you like to collect antiques. Maybe you're a baseball person and a baseball dad. Maybe it's something about sewing, and we have a great sewing group here. Maybe it's something that we have affinity where we can connect with other people that have same kind of interests as we do. Where we can start a conversation because we have an affinity with this certain group that makes an impact into our lives and impact into their lives, and we have an opportunity to share. And I think what Paul is saying, that there's opportunities for us. Yes, they were Jewish leaders, but they weren't Christians. And so here's Paul, a Christian, and a non-Christian is coming together. And Paul would say, yeah, life is hard. He's there in jail. He's in chains. But Paul says, I want to make the most of every opportunity. Now, on my sabbatical, I visited a church. And after church, I walked by this one room. And there in this room were people who looked a little bit different. They had this wrap around their head because they had no hair. I found out through some other people there at that church that there is a woman who has cancer, and her prognosis is not that good. And she could have said, you know, hey, life's hard. I got my own things to deal with. But she did something different. She started this cancer support group. And she, who has cancer, was the leader of that group. And she invited Christians in the church and non-Christians to come together to share things in common. And I always wonder why. I mean, this woman has so many hard things going on in her life. I mean, she's got her own things. I mean, her prognosis is not very good. She should be spending all of her time taking care of herself. And yet she has this opportunity of affinity. She could just sit there and say, I have cancer, poor me. But she said, I want to make the most of every opportunity. So we have three opportunities. We have the opportunity of adversity for people that are hurting. We have the opportunity of proximity. People are already nearby. And we have opportunity of affinity where people have similar interests that we can make a splash in this world and for eternity. And then Acts closes with these final two verses. And I have to tell you that I read some commentaries and heard from other people. Not many people like the ending of Acts. They're disappointed with the ending. And here's the ending. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The end. You're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We just went these last couple chapters about Paul and shipwrecked, and he was going to get to Rome, and he got to Rome. What happened to his trial? There's nothing in the Bible about his trial. What happened to Paul? How'd he die? I mean, tradition tells us that he was persecuted and died, but we don't know. Luke, the writer of Acts, ends the story right here. And if you're like me, I don't like the ending of the story. And I don't even think Luke cares that we don't like the end of the story, because for Luke, it's not the end of the story. The story continues. The story is not over. The story is one that we are writing. How the story of Jesus continues in our lives. There's Paul for two whole years arrested in chains and having suffering, not just for a week or a month, but two whole years, storms in his life. And yet Paul fought on, preaching and teaching, and people would come to his house, and Paul had this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, what would it look like if Slate Hill Mennonite Church would continue to gather stories of courageous proclaimers, that those of us who have go through these storms in life that are not passive, but sitting on the bench. I mean, not sitting on the bench in the storms. You see, I think about Paul, and we don't know about all this story, but we know things were wrong with him, facial or something going on with him. We know that Paul had a limp of some sort. And here's the thing. I want to be like Paul. When the storms come, and we have this opportunity, we say, well, maybe we should just stay out of the game for now. You see, no matter what limp, no matter what thing that you're carrying, no matter what happens in your life, you want to stay in the game. See, we are his. He nudges us. He pushes us. He uses us. He loves people. An opportunity for us to share the good news and to advance his kingdom. So I, when the storms come, I just pray that I can be like Paul. That I will take advantages of these opportunities of adversity, even though I have my own. Take advantage of proximity, of people that God placed in my life. And to have this opportunity of affinity that I can find like-minded people and things that I can open the door to preach the good news to those around us. And that preaching the good news is this, simply this. It's not standing up here in a pulpit. It's engaging one-on-one with people that God put in front of you. And so I pray that we may continue in the midst of the storm and limping along, continue to advance his cause. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us on the thousands of opportunities that we have walked right past, that we have missed. And Lord, instead of us, I know you don't want us to lament about that. You want us to push forth. I pray that we can be like Paul. That rather, that we can step in rather than stepping away. And Lord, I pray that when those situations come in our own lives, that your Holy Spirit would nudge us. Maybe even push us. And you will use us to advance your kingdom. Because, Lord, we know that no matter what happens in our lives, that you, the anchor, holds in the midst of the storm. Amen.